Hello, welcome to the Finding True Health podcast, episode number 5, where I'll be giving you a brief overview of a framework called intuitive eating. If you've already subscribed to the show, thank you so much. And if you haven't, it'll just take a second to hit that subscribe button. So right now would be a great time to do that. All right, let's get going. Hey there, friends. My name's Jenna Waite. I'm a registered dietitian, nutritionist, mother of 5, and someone who's passionate about helping others find true health in the midst of diet culture and body objectification. Join me as we take our focus off of weight and body size and put it on to becoming the healthiest possible versions of ourselves so that we can have energy to live our best lives. I'm so excited you're here. Now let's dive in. All right, I'm excited to talk about intuitive eating today. I want to begin by going over what the term intuitive eating means, where it came from, and also how it got so popular. Now, perhaps you've heard about intuitive eating before, or maybe this is your first time hearing about it, but even if you've heard the term, you might be unclear about what it actually means. Basically, attuned or intuitive eating means relying on internal cues for hunger and fullness, and on giving yourself unconditional permission to eat using attunement, which pretty much just means becoming aware of and responsive to or in tune with something, and in this case, your body. The term attuned eating has been around since the 1980s, but the term intuitive eating was coined in 1995 by two dietitians named Evelyn Tribele and Elise Resch. Back in the 1990s, Evelyn and Elise were practicing as dietitians, and they noticed a trend while working with their clients. They would help people lose weight through creating meal plans and exercise routines, and the clients would lose the weight, but then they would come back several years later and need to lose it again. They had gained it back. Eventually, Evelyn and Elise realized that what they were doing wasn't really helping people long term. In fact, it might be harming them, and they saw the need for a different approach. And that's when the first edition of their book, Intuitive Eating, was born. Evelyn and Elise have defined intuitive eating as a self-care eating framework, which integrates instinct, emotion, and rational thought. I describe it as kind of a way just to get back in tune or in touch with your body's natural signals, such as hunger and fullness and satisfaction. And using that self-awareness, along with a little bit of nutrition knowledge, as a guide to best care for your body and your health. Now, even though the first edition of Intuitive Eating was written in 1995, the concept didn't really start gaining momentum until about 10 years after the book was written, when the concept of intuitive eating began to be researched. Actually, a fun fact, the first research study to ever be done on the intuitive eating concept was done by a professor named Stephen Hawke, who was a professor of health science at Brigham Young University, which happens to be where I got my degree in nutrition. And the study was actually conducted while I was there in the early 2000s. Although, unfortunately, I wasn't involved in it. I didn't even know about it at the time. But results of the study concluded that girls who practiced intuitive eating showed a number of better health indicators. And even though Hawke's study was pretty small, it gained a lot of publicity, and that was the tipping point for intuitive eating. Since then, there have been over 125 studies, I believe it is, done on the teachings of intuitive eating and counting. There are more being done all the time. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of what the research has shown right now. We'll talk about that more in other episodes. But let me just say that there is substantial evidence that following the principles of intuitive eating has a whole host of mental, emotional, and physical benefits. And as I get into the principles, you can kind of see and maybe be able to tell for yourself if you think this framework would be beneficial in your life. I personally first learned about intuitive eating and read Evelyn and Elise's book about 10 years ago, but it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I really began studying the framework more in depth and started applying it to my own life by turning its principles into daily habits. And my personal experience with it has been fantastic. It's been a big help in my life. And it's definitely played a part in helping me make peace with food and with my body and improve my health overall. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what these 10 principles are. I'm going to be going through these pretty quickly today, but don't worry, I'm going to be diving into each of these principles a little more in depth in future episodes. So principle number one is reject the diet mentality. Now, there's a little blurb that Evelyn and Elise have about each principle that's written in their book, so I'm going to go ahead and read what they have to say about the principle, and then I'll give a few of my own thoughts about each of the principles as well. So they say, throw out the diet books and magazine articles that offer you the false hope of losing weight quickly, easily, and permanently. Get angry at diet culture that promotes weight loss and the lies that have led you to feel as if you were a failure every time a new diet stopped working and you gained back all of the weight. If you allow even one small hope to linger that a new and better diet or food plan might be lurking around the corner, it will prevent you from being free to rediscover intuitive eating. Diet culture and diet mentality are all around us. It's really the water we all swim in, and most of us don't even realize it. Many of the false beliefs that we have about bodies, about health, about weight loss, and about food are the result of diet mentality. I've never really been a dieter just because I've been aware of the potential dangers and general ineffectiveness of diets since I studied nutrition in college 20 years ago. But I still wasn't really aware of how affected I had been by diet mentality in my life and how many of my thoughts and my beliefs came from that until quite recently. I actually plan on diving into the pros and cons of dieting in next week's episode, so we'll dive deeper into this topic soon. Principle number two is to honor your hunger. Evelyn and Elise say, keep your body biologically fed with adequate energy and carbohydrates. Otherwise, you can trigger a primal drive to overeat. Once you reach the moment of excessive hunger, all intentions of moderate, conscious eating are fleeting and irrelevant. Learning to honor this first biological signal sets the stage for rebuilding trust in yourself and in food. Now, in our fast-paced, crazy, busy lives, it's so easy to ignore the signals that our body is giving us that it's hungry. And if you've ever been on a diet, then you were probably or possibly at least encouraged to ignore those signals when they do come. But paying attention and learning to recognize the signals that your body gives you when it's hungry will ensure that you're getting adequate energy and nourishment throughout the day. And like they said, oftentimes it's going to prevent overeating. All right, principle number three is make peace with food. They say, call a truce. Stop the food fight. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat. If you tell yourself that you can't or shouldn't have a particular food, it can lead to intense feelings of deprivation that build into uncontrollable cravings and often binging. When you finally, quote, give in to your forbidden foods, eating will be experienced with such intensity, it usually results in Last Supper overeating and overwhelming guilt. We give so much power to certain foods or certain food groups sometimes, either worshiping or demonizing them. But food is just food. There is no reason to fear it or to set really strict rules around it. Allowing ourselves to have small amounts of our favorite foods from time to time greatly reduces the risk of overindulging on those foods when they're available. Now, I understand there are people that just want to avoid those types of foods altogether, and that is completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't have to be that way if you don't want it to. And making peace with food can be so freeing. Okay, principle number four is challenge the food police. Evelyn and Elise say, scream a loud no to thoughts in your head that declare you're, quote, good for eating minimal calories, or, quote, bad because you ate a piece of chocolate cake. The food police monitor the unreasonable rules that diet culture has created. The police station is housed deep in your psyche, and its loudspeaker shouts negative barbs, hopeless phrases, and guilt-provoking indictments. Chasing the food police away is a critical step in returning to intuitive eating. The food police is really a byproduct of diet culture, and it needs to be removed from your self-talk. Anytime you find yourself saying that you, quote, should or shouldn't eat a certain way, those thoughts are probably coming from the food police. Now, there's nothing wrong with choosing to eat a certain way because you know it will help you feel better and enjoy better health, but it doesn't make you any more or less worthy as a person. So there doesn't need to be like this moral judgment attached to it. Okay, principle number 5, discover the satisfaction factor. The Japanese have the wisdom to keep pleasure as one of their goals of healthy living. In our compulsion to comply with diet culture, we often overlook one of the most basic gifts of existence, the pleasure and satisfaction that can be found in the eating experience. When you eat what you really want, in an environment that is inviting, the pleasure you derive will be a powerful force in helping you feel satisfied and content. By providing this experience for yourself, you will find that it takes just the right amount of food for you to decide you've had enough. I feel like our reluctance to actually find pleasure in our food is, like they said, just another result of diet culture. It's as if we feel that foods that are good for our body can't also be delicious, or that foods that are purely meant for pleasure should be completely avoided. But food and the eating experience can bring great pleasure and satisfaction if we allow it to. I think another reason that we struggle with this is that most of us, including myself at times, aren't very good at eating mindfully. We eat while we're working or we're watching TV or we're just distracted in some other way. So we're missing out on the potential satisfaction that our food could be providing if we were paying closer attention while we ate. So I think that the satisfaction piece goes hand in hand with eating more mindfully. All right, moving right along to principle number 6, which is feel your fullness. Evelyn and Elise say, in order to honor your fullness, you need to trust that you will give yourself the foods that you desire. Listen for the body signals that tell you that you are no longer hungry. Observe the signs that show that you're comfortably full. Pause in the middle of eating and ask yourself how the food tastes and what your current hunger level is. Once again, I feel like the main reason that we struggle with feeling our fullness is because we aren't paying attention while we eat. Or we just might be so out of touch with our body signals that we have forgotten what it even feels like to be full. Principle number 7 is cope with your emotions with kindness. They say, first, recognize that food restriction, both physically and mentally, can, in and of itself, trigger loss of control, which can feel like emotional eating. Find kind ways to comfort, nurture, distract, and resolve your issues. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we all experience throughout life. Each has its own trigger, and each has its own appeasement. Food won't fix any of these feelings. It may comfort for the short term, distract from the pain, or even numb you, but food won't solve the problem. If anything, eating for an emotional hunger may only make you feel worse in the long run. You'll ultimately have to deal with the source of the emotion. I know that emotional eating is a problem for a lot of people, so if you're one of them, you're not alone, and rest assured that it really can be overcome. It's just a matter of learning some new habits and new strategies to cope with your emotions. Okay, principle number 8 is respect your body. They say, accept your genetic blueprint. Just as a person with a shoe size of 8 would not expect to realistically squeeze into a size 6, it's equally futile and uncomfortable to have a similar expectation about body size. But mostly, respect your body so you can feel better about who you are. It's hard to reject the diet mentality if you are unrealistic and overly critical of your body size or shape. All bodies deserve dignity. And I could not agree with that statement more. Last week, we talked about how to love your body, which goes right along with this principle. And when people ask me what I do, I often tell them that I help women love, accept, and respect their body to new levels of health through sustainable habits. The love and respect piece is really critical for being able to achieve true and lasting health, in my opinion. Okay, principle number 9 is movement. Feel the difference. Forget militant exercise. Just get active and feel the difference. Shift your focus to how it feels to move your body, rather than the calorie-burning effect of exercise. If you focus on how you feel from working out, such as energized, it can make the difference between rolling out of bed for a brisk morning walk or hitting the snooze alarm. I used to be one of those people that watched the calorie counter on the exercise equipment that I used at the gym, or tracked the calories that I burned with my Fitbit. but I found it so much more motivating and rewarding and enjoyable to focus on the fact that when I exercise, I really have more energy, I have better moods, and I can feel myself getting stronger. And these are just a lot more enjoyable and motivating reasons for me to exercise rather than burning calories. Okay, and on to the final principle, principle number 10, which is honor your health through gentle nutrition. Make food choices that honor your health and taste buds while making you feel good. Remember that you don't have to eat perfectly to be healthy. You will not suddenly get a nutrient deficiency or become unhealthy from one snack, one meal, or one day of eating. It's what you eat consistently over time that matters. Progress, not perfection, is what counts. Nutrition is important for sure, but there is a reason that gentle nutrition is the last principle discussed, because it's really hard to practice gentle nutrition from a clear head space and from a place of real health if we are doing it from a place of diet mentality or a place of hating our bodies. So those are the 10 principles of intuitive eating in a nutshell. Just one thing to note, this list is based on the latest edition of the book, which is the fourth edition. If you have an older copy of the book that, or maybe an older article, then these principles will probably be listed in a different order. They changed a few things around with this latest edition, and they might be described a little bit differently too, I'm not sure. I also want to point out that these principles don't have to be completed in the order that is listed. There is also some overlap between the principles, so this isn't necessarily like a step-by-step framework for becoming a more intuitive eater. Rather, it's a list of principles to remember and to practice that can really help you on a journey of being more intuitive, of listening to your body and eating more intuitively. Although, like I mentioned, it is hard to practice gentle nutrition from the right headspace if we aren't at least working on most of the other principles first. So that one should come a little bit later in your journey, usually. So once again, these principles are 1, reject the diet mentality. 2, honor your hunger. 3, make peace with food. 4, challenge the food police. 5, discover the satisfaction factor. 6, feel your fullness. 7, cope with your emotions with kindness. 8, respect your body. 9, movement, feel the difference. And 10, honor your health through gentle nutrition. So now that we've gone over the 10 principles, you might be wondering, well, is intuitive eating for everyone? Is it for me? I actually plan on doing an episode in the future about whom intuitive eating is and might not be for. And I do believe that the whole framework was made with chronic dieters in mind. So if you're not a chronic dieter, some of the things might not resonate with you. But as I mentioned earlier, even though I wasn't really a dieter, the intuitive eating framework has helped me so much and helped me recognizing some of that diet mentality that I still had. I see intuitive eating as a good end goal for most everybody, but it might take some people quite a bit of time to move through some of the principles. I also know that some of the principles of intuitive eating can seem a little bit abstract, and you might not know exactly how to implement them into your life, and that's kind of how I felt when I first read the book. Almost everything about the intuitive eating framework really resonated with me when I first learned about it, but I had a hard time actually implementing the principles into my life at first, and that's why I felt the need to create my online course, Help Through Habits, to help others actually implement these principles in their life by turning them into habits. And as you can see, some of these principles require behavioral habit changes, but many of them require you to work on your habitual thoughts and your beliefs. So it's more of mental changes. I look forward to diving deeper into these principles down the road in future episodes. But again, I just wanted to give you a general overview of what intuitive eating is when I'm referring to it, at least. I also have another free resource for you today. If you would like a worksheet with a list of the 10 principles that we just went over, along with a brief explanation of each one, then you can head over to jennawaite.com/005 for episode 5. And thank you for joining me today. I hope that you enjoyed learning a little bit about intuitive eating and that you'll pick up that resource, look it over, and maybe pick out just one of the principles this week that you want to really focus on and see if there's any room for improvement in your life. And of course, come back, join me again in the future as we dive into each of those principles more in depth later. All right, have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Do you want to ditch diets and eat more intuitively, but you're just not sure how? Well, I have a course designed just for you. Health Through Habits is where intuitive eating meets habit formation. It's a step-by-step guide for turning the principles of intuitive eating into doable, sustainable habits in your life so you can become the healthiest possible version of yourself. This is where the magic happens, my friends. This is how true health is achieved. You're not going to want to miss out on this life-changing course, so head on over to healththroughhabits.com to check it out.